This is Bob, Groz, and Tom.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio and streaming nationwide on the 710 Sports app and 710sports.com.
Hour number two of Bob, Groz, and Tom. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we'll bring you up to speed on anything you may have missed. Right now, we talk about one of the bigger stories going on, and that would be gambling in the world of professional sports outside of Las Vegas. And a man who knows a thing or two about that, formerly covered sports betting for the National Football Post, is with us now on the Venue Kings Hotline. I'm talking about Joe Fortenbaugh from 95.7 The Game. Joe, how are you, man?
Fantastic, gentlemen. Thanks so much for having me on. It's always a pleasure to talk a little sports with you.
Absolutely. And I'm a non-gambler, so I'm gonna be the remedial individual here and ask you the simple questions like what does this ultimately mean to the world of gambling? What differences might we see as sports fans? Your overall reaction to this ruling.
Well, those are important questions because there are a lot of people who have probably never dabbled in the sports betting world before because it's been illegal. Much like a lot of people probably, at least some anyway, stayed away from marijuana until that was passed and made legal. So this is a whole new frontier for the United States of America. Basically what happened is that after a 6-year court battle, the United States Supreme Court ruled in favor of Chris Christie and the state of New Jersey and struck down PASPA by a ruling of 6-3. That was the 1992 act that essentially prevented any state other than Nevada from allowing the wagering on sports, any event that draws a box score eventually. So now that's struck down, and now it's up to the states. The states are free to police themselves, and if they want to legalize sports betting, they're free to do so. New Jersey will obviously be the first one out. William Hill is a sports book that started in Europe. You can now find them in Las Vegas as well. They operate several books there. They are getting ready to move into Monmouth Racetrack. They're actually already advertising for jobs that they need to fill. So Jersey will be first, and then keep your eyes on Delaware, Mississippi, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia.
Congress is going to have a chance to have a say on this, and the likelihood is, it seems to me, that they'll probably do what they did with the lotteries, which is there'll be some general regulations, but they'll leave it up to the states. Is that how you see it playing out?
What you're going to see from Congress is heavy lobbying on behalf of the professional sports entities. So the NFL, especially NBA, NHL, Major League Baseball, probably the NCAA as well, WNBA, they're all going to be lobbying their congressmen, their senators, their governors, and they're going to be doing everything they possibly can to get Congress to kind of, what Goodell is calling, lay out a framework for how to initiate legalized sports betting. It's a fancy way of saying, we want our cut.
Right.
We're going to pay Congress a lot of money to set up rules in which we will get a cut from this. But make no mistake about it, right now, it doesn't matter. If the states can go ahead and pass it if they so fit, and they can start taking action. What you'll mostly see is the idea of having to go to a physical location like the racetrack in New Jersey. But it's only a matter of time before, and anyone who's ever been to Legacy Stadium at the Palazzo in Vegas knows what I'm talking about, before you see these high-end bars, sports bars that pop up that'll take wagers right as well. And then eventually you'll have the states smarten up and develop their sports betting apps so that anyone within the state boundaries can go ahead and make a wager. This is where Vegas can help. Vegas has had mobile sports wagering for about 5 or 6 years now. It initiated right before I left, and the advancements in technology have been fantastic.
Do you think that each, I'll say of the four major sports, do you think it'll be a race for those four sports to embrace this thing? Like, how do you think it'll affect each of the four major sports?
There should be increased interest for sure. I don't think it's going to do a whole lot for the NFL. If you've never bet on the NFL, you've still probably watched it. So they're probably going to be in the same wheelhouse. But they should incorporate new stats-based features, similar to fantasy football, geared towards prop betting. You know, I think you're going to see a boom in media coverage from the major networks. You're going to start seeing more sports wagering analysis incorporated into a lot of this stuff. It would be the smart way to play it. But for any sport that's looking to benefit, this was my main argument for the NHL for years. It's like, you're the least relevant of all the sports in America. Why not do something different? Why not be the first to embrace sports betting? And maybe some states will only offer hockey, and that could give you the jump on the competition. Gary Bettman, however, he doesn't see it that way. I think golf is going to benefit immensely. NASCAR probably has a good shot as well, but I think more fringe sports like that are going to draw people in. If you've never wagered on golf, I'll be completely honest with you. If you go to a golf event live and you make a wager for a single round on which of the two golfers will have the better round, and then you follow those guys when they're in the same group around the course, it is awesome. I did that for a couple years in Arizona.
Nice.
Or allegedly I did it for a couple years in Arizona when I was covering the Waste Management Open. And I remember following Bubba Watson and Nick Watney around all day. It was like their family members and me following them for 18 holes. And these family members are like, what's this guy doing? And I'm kind of like, don't worry about me. I'm just here to track what your family members are up to.
That's the rumor out there anyway.
Great
That's
story.
What you were doing.
Yeah. It's just alleged.
All right. So, Let me ask you this, Joe, again, the novice question here. What would be the downside to all of this? What would be the ammunition for those who are against it?
Well, it depends. I mean, what you're going to hear is that this is going to jeopardize the integrity of the leagues. That's such a load of garbage. First of all these guys are paid so much money. How much are you going to get how much would you have to give Tom Brady to throw a game, right? If you're making $20 million a year, you're not going to take a $15,000 payoff to throw a game. Everyone always tries to tell you that legalized sports wagering is going to lead to all these shady characters lurking in the distance. First of all, the professional sports franchises, they've been monitoring point spread movements in Vegas for quite some time. A lot of these bookmakers operate as league consultants, and they will alert the proper officials if they notice something suspicious with the line. If anything, I think everything's going to become more buttoned up, at least from a professional sports level. Now, college sports will be interesting to keep an eye on. Those kids don't make any money, so maybe something could happen there, but I really don't see in this day and age how anyone's going to pull that off without it getting noticed. And once it's as prominent across the country as people expect it to be, good luck slipping anything by anybody. So that's argument number one. I don't think that holds any water. Argument number two is that, of course, with this being legal, people could become addicted and people could end up developing problems. That's true. It's the same with, you know, so many different things that are out there. But at what point do we want to be responsible for our own actions? I know this is difficult, and that might not necessarily create a scenario of sympathy on my behalf for other people, but let's call it what it is. We should all be responsible for our own actions. This is something you can either partake in or not partake in. But don't partake in it, be irresponsible with it, and then come crying for some sort of handout because you need help. This is going to be on the people as much as anybody else. The government is ruling in favor of sports betting. This is an opportunity for us to have more freedom with this stuff. But again, with great responsibility, or great opportunity comes great responsibility, if that's the line. And quite frankly, that could be a problem. It's definitely going to be a problem for some.
Joe, one thing I think is going to be interesting to see is, depending on how many fees, what taxes are taken out, if in fact you get the leagues taking a chunk out of it as well, you may see a circumstance where the lines that are offered in the various states differ dramatically from what a quote-unquote Vegas line might be. And we already know that the number, I think, is around $150 billion bet illegally. So I'm kind of getting a roundabout way of asking you, do you think this is the end of bookies and illegal gambling?
No, only because the key with illegal gambling is that a lot of times you can play on credit. For example, you set up an account with an illegal bookie, and he might give you a $2,000 credit line. And what you guys will agree to is you'll settle every week if you're either down or up more than 500. Otherwise, it will roll over. That's kind of how that industry works. So for the people that don't have the money to front the wagers, they might continue to use this because they can play on credit. Now, obviously, you run the risk of something happening with the police or the federal government getting involved. You run the risk of getting stiffed. You run the risk of, you know, any number of things that could happen when you're dealing with the underground market. But I think there's still going to be a market for it somewhere to some people. So it's something to keep in mind moving forward.
Do you think for the states that actually go ahead and legalize this, it's going to be an online thing or is it going to be an in-person thing? I know at Monmouth in New Jersey, they already had that sports book built and ready to go. Do you think it'll be in person or online or both?
It's going to be both. I think most places it'll start online. I know that, it'll start in person. In Vegas, what you would have to do to initiate the app is show up to one of the sports books in person, set up an account, deposit money face to face, And then as long as you operated within the state, you could use the app to make your wagers. And then you would show up and cash out however you wanted to see fit. Now, they've improved the manner in which that's been used. It's been easier, but I would imagine that you'll still have brick-and-mortar shops because I think people will get creative with them. It won't just be the place of bet. You'll go there, you'll watch games, you might have something to eat. It could become another sports bar. I mean, if you're Buffalo Wild Wings, why wouldn't you be stepping into this market right now? You should be forming an alliance with William Hill or Paddy Power or any one of these conglomerates that's operated in Europe, and you should put betting terminals in all of your locations that are going to be in states that allow legalized sports betting. This really is a whole new frontier, and there's going to be a lot of money to be made out there, as well as jobs for people. So there is a lot of positive with this as well. But again, I encourage everyone to be responsible. Just because you're allowed to do it doesn't mean you should. You should study. You should research. You should understand how the game works and realize what you're up against. The government's going to want its cut. The leagues are going to want its cut. And here's what's insane about it. They were talking about this 1% integrity fee, but it was 1% off the top of all bets. So imagine you take $1 million in bets on the Super Bowl, and it's just $1 million on the Philadelphia Eagles, and you lose $1 million. Well, you still have to pay that out plus 1% then in the integrity fee. That's not how it works. The VIG in Vegas only exists on the losing wagers. So I know that this is a starting point for negotiations, but it's very greedy on behalf of the leagues.
It's interesting, Joe, to see how this whole thing is going to develop. I think the water is going to raise all the boats, so I don't think this is going to hurt Vegas at all. Do you think it is?
No, Vegas is going to be fine. When you look at the breakdown each month of where their revenue comes from, penny slots blow everything away. Penny slots and slot machines dominate in terms of gaming revenue. Then it moves to table games like blackjack and roulette and craps and all that stuff. Sports betting is generally last. Sports betting is the hardest thing for Vegas to turn a profit on. That's why you've seen sports books over the years get smaller and smaller, and at the same time, hotels and casinos aren't necessarily operating them on their own. They're farming it out and leasing it out to places like Cantor Gaming and William Hill, which is in Las Vegas as well. Now, recently, because the market's been doing well and people like to come to Vegas as a destination for March Madness, the Super Bowl, the whole event spectacular behind it, some of these sports books have dumped money back into the product. Caesar's Palace finally has a legitimate sports book after years. When I was living there, that place was gross. The Mirage has a really nice, big, spacious sports book. The Wynn just redid their sports book. It's something that's definitely taking more shape in Vegas as the technology's gotten better, the TVs have gotten better, the service has gotten better.
Joe Fortenbaugh from 95.7 The Game is our guest here with Bob Gross and Tom. And Joe, back to the idea of it compromising the integrity of the game, and I understand that, you know, it doesn't make a lot of sense when you're talking about the pros with the money they make. What are you going to offer them to mess with the game? But you brought up the college players, which I think is valid. What about the officials? What about umps, refs, things like that? They don't make player type of money. Is that just as big of a concern as a college kid, do you think?
It should be. It should be because we've seen it before with Tim Donaghy in the NBA. And that's a fabulous book if you ever want to read what was going on there behind the scenes. It's called Gaming the Game. I actually know a couple of the guys who were involved in that. They live and work in Vegas right now. They were lower-level guys in that Philadelphia outfit, but they were there. They lived through the Donaghy scandal. And everyone thought Donaghy was fixing games. The reality is that Donaghy knew these teams better than anybody, right? He's around them all the time. He talks to other officials. He knows who's sick. He knows how these guys play. And quite frankly, a ref has a way of manipulating games that's very tough to determine. You know, he might sense when the run is coming and call a foul. You know, tonight, being based here in the Bay Area, to go off on a tangent, there's a lot of concern amongst Warrior fans about tonight's officiating crew. Scott Foster is officiating tonight, and under Steve Kerr for the last 4 years, when Foster officiates a Warriors playoff game, the Warriors are 7-7. But when Foster's not on the court, they're 48-10. Something there to that. And when you see how James Harden draws as many fouls as he does, don't be surprised if Klay Thompson gets hit with a couple quick whistles tonight. So there's definitely some concern. And here's another thing with that, and this is something that the leagues will notice. I monitor betting lines in Las Vegas, so I'll have a website open that'll show me maybe 10 sports books and their current point spreads. About 5:40 a.m. this morning, right before I go on air for the morning show, I notice that 8 sports books all at once light up, and they move from Houston minus 1 to Houston minus 1.5. Now, that's a concerted effort. That's not random. That's a syndicate or a group of professional bettors betting the same thing at multiple books at the exact same moment. So I ask myself, why would this be happening right now? Well, 20 minutes from that moment was when the NBA was about to announce their officials for Game 1. And if that information leaked, which to me it looks like it did, people wanted to jump ahead of the Scott Foster trend. Again, I'm not necessarily saying something suspicious is up, but this is the information you have to study. You have to understand that certain officials call games differently than others, and that can help some teams and hurt some teams. And tonight, it's led to some money coming in on the Rockets because of how Foster has officiated the Warriors in the past.
Wow. Hey, Joe, quickly off topic before we let you go, how are they feeling about the 49ers draft out there?
They're pretty solid. I mean, no one's ever going to get that jacked up about an offensive lineman. No disrespect, but it's not really a sexy position, even though everyone knows that, I mean, you guys know quite well, right? Like, when you don't have an offensive line, you're very aware of the problem.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You wish it could be addressed. But no one really ever gives it its just due. So the McGlinchey pick, obviously, it's a long-term play. It's someone that can step in for Joe Staley down the road. Overall, I don't think there were any real wow picks, but the organization has done a nice job of winning back the support of the fan base ever since last season and the move to pick up Jimmy Garoppolo. So right now it's relatively positive. Nobody's going gaga over anything, though.
Garoppolo's the savior, right? That's how he's being portrayed.
I mean, once you get a guy like Garoppolo, that handsome, that nice of a base tan, it's very difficult to get excited about anything else. It really feels like the organization peaked just by bringing that guy in. Everyone already thinks they won the Super Bowl.
I know. Nice. I tell you, I've never seen 5 more important games in the career of anybody. It's been amazing.
It's been fun, to say the least.
Joe, always good to talk to you, man. Really appreciate you cutting out a few minutes with us, and we'll talk again soon.
You kidding me? Love coming on with you guys. Thanks so much. Take care.
There you go. Joe Fortenbaugh from 95.7 The Game. Fresh off a big heaping cup of espresso and perhaps a Red Bull.
He's got some energy.
Yeah, he's great, though.
Tell you what, I'm thinking about putting some money on the Rockets and watching the game tonight.
Yeah. Go on. Look at this official. See? Look at this official.
Learn something. It would be funny if
That's a good example of the sort of research that you need to do to be effective, to be successful.
So keeping an eye on all those different books, and they all switch at the same exact time.
Well, that's hardcore.
Yeah. We should have asked Joe if he's actually made a bunch of money doing this. Wouldn't it be suspicious if
he did? Allegedly, I have.
Well,
or allegedly, I've done okay.
I think if he made a lot, he probably wouldn't be working.
Fair point.
Well, yeah. Well, he'd still be just betting.
Or he's a degenerate and he's losing it right back. And
that could be.
That's usually how it goes, right?
You go to the well too often, Bob. Yeah. You just keep going to that well.
You can never walk away on top for long.
You say, look, you can't win if you don't bet.
That's right. You talk yourself into why it's a good idea to put it all out there. Let it ride.
Sounds like fun, though. Again, this is something that, just going back to our earlier conversation, I would think about maybe dabbling in with $20, $50 here and there.
Yeah. Particular moments.
On a given
night. I think it'd be really dangerous for the credit card buyers to do that because
I agree.
You just don't feel like you're spending anything.
It's not tangible. You're not seeing it. It's like, all right.
I think it's extremely dangerous.
Let's go double or nothing now on the next one.
Yeah. I mean, for people, look, I've dealt with my own addiction issues elsewhere, things that don't have to do with gambling. So I've got that type of personality already. I do kind of think, by the grace of God, I never dabbled in gambling at all. Maybe because it was illegal. Who knows? So keep an eye on me.
I've kind of stayed away from it because I have an addictive personality.
I mean, you stayed away. You gamble.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't use a bookie. I don't illegally gamble. Really.
That's other people in the building, Jim Moore. But
you don't have a line of credit?
I don't because I knew that, I mean, look, that would be something that I could get way too into.
Yeah. So especially if you thought you were good at it, like talking about monitoring
betting
lines. Well,
you figure you know stuff. You know how to be good at it.
Right, but you're just a schmo. I mean, you're not. Well, I don't mean you. I mean us.
I know what you mean, but no matter how much you know, it's still a game.
Yes.
You know who was a big fan of Joe Fortenbaugh?
Who's that?
Jim Moore from Danny, Dave, and Moore just sent me a text. Said, this guy's fantastic.
Yeah, I feel bad for Jim. He's not getting a chance to work on National Gambling
Day. Jim's going to bet the Rockets tonight, I'm telling you.
Now that he heard that, you better believe he is.
The referee.
I'm sure of it. Sure of it. All right, good stuff from Joe Fortenbaugh. Always good to talk to him. Meanwhile, sports gambling is legal now, but will anybody be betting on the Mariners anytime soon? The halftime show coming your way next with Bob Gross and Tom.
Hey, this is Danny O'Neill from the Danny, Dave, and Moore Show. Thank you for listening to the Bob Gross and Tom Show. I'd really appreciate it if you checked out Danny, Dave, and Moore every afternoon from 3 to 7. You can stream us live at 710sports.com or on the 710 Sports app or listen on demand.
It's time for the Halftime Show.
The half is not over.
Presented by VenueKings.com.
The half is not over. There's 3 seconds on the clock.
Revisiting the biggest stories of today at the midpoint of the show.
The Halftime Show. It's not easy.
Now, here's Bob, Roz, and Tom.
See you getting a little...
No, I'm
a little tense and uncomfortable over there.
We're done. What are you kidding me? I've been laughing for 5 straight minutes.
You wouldn't believe the stuff we talk about during breaks.
Yeah. Yes. It'd really get that text going, wouldn't it?
It might.
Oh, boy.
Although we even talked history. We talked Supreme Court history right then.
We're talking compromises.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Missouri compromises. Dred Scott decision. Stuff like that.
Any way we can tie that into Cano being hurt?
I don't think so.
Other than I dread the next player that gets hurt.
There we go. Man. That's not bad. But, it's just bad news. When is...
Tomorrow, I believe, is when we should get some clarity.
He goes to Philadelphia tomorrow, and they examine him tomorrow?
Right, he's on a 10-day DL.
Which is what you need to do to get put on the 60-day DL, potentially. So we'll see. But the preliminary, 6 to 8 weeks, which... Whether you've got a hangnail or a broken bone or whatever's going on, it feels like that's the diagnosis.
Well, you made a good point, though, in talking about how those guys like to maintain an even strain when they're on the field. They like to show that they're hurt, and there was no doubt about this one.
Oh, yeah. There was no
hiding. And he even referred to it afterwards as it feels like a really bad break.
Man, of all places, I would think that's got to be, I mean, outside of being hit in the head, it's got to hurt as bad as anywhere. There's just no meat on top of your hand.
In terms of immediate pain? Sure.
Yeah, because you get hit in the leg.
Or your ankle bone.
Or your Yadier Molina.
Hurts too.
Fair point.
But at least you're trying to protect that area. With this one, you really can't.
Yeah,
unless you're wearing armor all up and down. Yeah,
generally, you're getting hit in the hip or the back. And none of it feels good, obviously. Mm-hmm. But, man, the bones in your hands, you got these tiny little bones that can... I mean, they break those bones swinging the bat.
Right.
The hamate bone.
Yep.
I was relieved it wasn't his wrist.
Yeah.
Because wrist injuries, man, I'll never forget Nomar Garciaparra. He went from a 370 hitter to a 310 hitter overnight.
Permanently.
Yeah, because
his
wrist
never...
Well, it got better, but not
the same.
Way.
It didn't go
exactly.
The same. Go back to
like
it
healed.
Not everybody can be Griffey.
What do you mean?
Smashed his wrist.
Oh,
going into the wall.
Griffey
comes
shrugged
back.
Off a lot of things, man.
And he just went,
but then he didn't.
Yeah, they piled up on him.
Yeah.
I think that's from years of diving on turf.
Well, I was playing in the kingdom.
Yeah, basically playing on concrete.
Yeah.
Out there. But, so the news not great for Cano. We'll see what the official diagnosis will be or just in terms of his time away from the game. So they've called up Gordon Beckham. I would imagine you'll see a platoon type of thing with him, Romine, maybe Motter. I don't know who else they put into that mix. We got people suggesting all kinds of crazy, take D from center field, move this guy. I had a guy on Twitter. I think he was being serious.
Is this what keeps popping up in my Twitter feed here, and him going back and forth?
He says, how about this? Healy to third base, Seager to shortstop, Segura to second base, since these players have fielded those respective positions. Haniger and Vogelbeck can platoon at first base. Hang on. They're not going to disrupt their entire defense to accommodate the absence of Robinson Cano. You can cover the defense. I think they're going to miss his bat more. As good as he's been defensively, I think his bat will be what they miss more than his fielding. I think they can find adequate fielding amongst some of those guys.
Well, they can't really bring them all up. They can't have those three guys be their entire bench either. So it'll be...
Two of them are here.
Two of them are right. And it'll never be more than two of them here at the same time, but... We'll see. We'll see if their attitude changes depending on how long Cano is out. Because there was an immediate thought that you do have an all-star second baseman on your roster.
Yeah.
In Gordon, who's your center fielder, and you do have in Heredia a really, I'd say, an above-average defensive center fielder.
Yes. Very good fielder.
Yeah. So, I mean...
And a guy who should be able to hit a little bit, although he hasn't really done that as much yet this year.
Who?
Heredia.
Well, he was doing fine until they sent him down. He was hitting over 300.
He was hitting 300, I know.
Yeah.
But what's the simplest solution? The simplest solution would be to keep him in center field.
Is what they're doing.
Just leave everybody where they're at and fill it in with Beckham and Romine and whoever you're going to use as a platoon. I don't know that they want to disrupt Gordon in his progress in the outfield. That's his spot.
I think it's more than that, too. I don't think you want to disrupt Gordon, period.
Yes.
He's hitting 350. I mean, he's rolling. Leave him alone.
The fewer moves, the better.
Yeah,
I thought that was a creative suggestion from our guy on Twitter, but Come on, you're not moving.
You don't want to move 100 different pieces guys around. No, because then whatever you're saving with Gordon, you're hurting with other guys.
Yeah, right. It's not going to happen. So we'll see.
It may change if Cano is out for longer than 2 months, and if they really are struggling with that position.
Yeah, if they're struggling defensively, that's when they'll, I would think, consider that.
Or if they struggle offensively. Look, you made the point before, and Cano's offense has been a significant part of what they've done this year.
Once Gordon goes into a hitting slump, then you can move him to second base, just to change things up.
Story number two. We talked to Joe Fortenbaugh from 95.7 The Game, who's an expert on gambling because sports betting has now been legalized.
And the lesson today is bet the Rockets.
Bet the Rockets, yeah. Yeah, people will start following trends and officiating crews and where teams are playing and all that good stuff. But
well, the bad news is for people in Washington, we'll probably be one of the last states to get on board.
I wonder what it takes, like process-wise, and maybe it's different by everybody's city council and all that
stuff. It's different by every state.
Some states have done some legwork.
City councils won't be involved with this. It'll be state legislature
that'll
be involved with it. But some have done legwork, some have not. Yeah. Washington State is one of about 25 who have not.
Do you guys think that party politics will sway one way or the other on this issue?
Well,
because money is money.
No question about it. I mean, in other words, you're going to do it, and you're going to figure out where the revenue stream is going to go. You're going to get a significant tax revenue stream. Where does that go? That is a political issue.
Okay, but I meant in terms
is it more of a Republican versus Democrat thing?
In favor of this in the state of Washington, will one side come down on it versus the other side
embracing it?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I don't think so.
It's a question of, like you said, what to do with the
It'll
money.
It'll be a nonpartisan issue.
We should really use one of those.
We talked about it that, you know, the only state that's certain not to do it is Utah.
Yeah, Orrin Hatch is already making noise about talking to Congress and all that I saw.
Yeah, and I think Alabama's another state that may not do it for other reasons.
What's their problem?
They just don't like gambling. No lottery, no anything down there.
All right.
No legalized pot, no anything.
There's a good little graphic on ESPN, the sports betting bill tracker.
Yeah, they did a good article in there, too, by the way.
And it shows
a general one.
Yeah, so they give you four categories. Full-scale legalized sports betting, which only exists in one state, which is Nevada. Then the next level would be recent bill has passed. Then the next level, recent bill introduced but not passed. And then the final one, no recent bill introduced. So
that's the majority, by the way.
It is.
Most states have not introduced a bill.
So the places that look like they're going to be next in line would be Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Connecticut, Mississippi, it looks like. And then behind them, you've got Illinois, you've got New York, you've got Rhode Island, Indiana, Iowa, and then a whole bunch. More have not done anything. And
right.
Washington is one of those. Oregon is one of those.
Right. Although Oregon had football betting for a while.
Just football betting?
Yeah, you're able to bet on Sunday NFL.
Yeah, they got rid of it probably about a decade ago when they tried to get NCAA championship events in their state.
They've already got some infrastructure and have already done it, so they could be a quicker turnaround than, say, a state like Washington, which hasn't done anything yet.
It is interesting with what's going on right now in this city with Amazon and the headcount and all that stuff. If we had this money, headcount, right? If we had this money from gambling coming in right now, how that would change things around here?
I don't know. It all depends
on where it goes.
Exactly.
I mean, that's basically lotteries got sold to everyone because schools win too.
Yeah.
A lot of states, that's where they tried to funnel lottery money. For better or worse.
All right. So there's a bit of what we talked about to open the show. Coming up, we answer your questions. Any question, any topic is fair game. Just text it in to 710-710, the Coors Light text line. Have an opinion already? Coming up with Bob Gross and Tom.
From the Alaska Airlines Studio.
This is Bob Gross and Tom.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app. This is Have an Opinion Already on the Bob Gross and Tom Show. Three loudmouths, three questions, and one giant tub of hand sanitizer. Right, Bob? Let's get it on.
Let's get it on, baby. This me.
Nope. Try again.
Let's get it on.
Question one.
You guys talked before about how Alabama probably won't get in on this gambling thing, but a texter wants us to know that Alabama does allow fireworks sales year-round. So you can go down there and you can do that.
Great. Gamble with your life.
That's gambling.
Graz's trick changed my life. To convince yourself that you're addicted to something positive, the person says, I'm now addicted to not eating carbs. Does he have any other life lessons?
That's the biggest one.
That is a big one.
That's always bet on black.
That's how I quit smoking.
Works.
Can.
It's basically what hypnosis is. You're retraining your brain to think something or to believe something.
Yep. But thanks for that. I'm glad it worked.
Next.
Question two.
How will you be marking the 20th anniversary of the Seinfeld finale, which evidently was today?
I'm going to wear a puffy shirt.
Was that in the finale?
No.
I just wear it.
Jeez, everyone was in the finale, though.
No. Everybody.
That finale I thought was terrible.
Did you?
I didn't think it was terrible.
It wasn't funny. It wasn't funny like the. It felt different than the other episodes because they just threw it together. You guys know the backstory of that, or have you heard any of the rumors?
About the finale?
About what the show was supposed to be something other than it was. They had it written, but it leaked out or something, so they did something different and threw together what we ended up seeing.
Which is every character that's been
right,
in
it. Right, it basically became a flashback show, which wasn't as funny.
Yeah.
It's still Seinfeld. But.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I still have a hard time criticizing it. I like seeing, was it Keith Hernandez playing pool with Putty? And the soup Nazi was there. They brought them all back.
They brought back Daphne from Frasier. She was the one who was the closet.
She was the virgin. Right. She was going to redo his closet.
She got
and
together
Babu?
With... Babu? Oh, yeah.
You're
Babu.
A very bad man.
Yep.
Very bad.
Very, very bad.
Again, they just rehashed the jokes.
Yeah,
they did. I didn't know that.
Next.
But there was such a great line from Peterman. Oh, for the love of God, man.
Don't wait for me. Okay.
Question three.
I assume this refers to sports gambling being legalized. Does this mean that Pete Rose is getting into the Hall of Fame now? I don't think
players
can bet on their own sport or managers.
He doesn't gamble anymore. So
that was one of the X factors that me and Tom were talking about, too. I mean, of all the logistical stuff that has to happen, for example, teams will have to be barred from having their employees betting. Yeah, gonna be able to, and they have to figure out a
trainers,
way to do that.
Trainers, et cetera.
Right, who have inside information and things like that.
Does that hurt? Good, all right, and it'll call my bookie. Yeah. Or even players betting through those guys, right?
Right.
Saying to your trainer, hey, my arm hurts. I'm not going to be able to hit tonight.
Yeah.
If you happen to be by a sports book, you know, do what you want with this information.
Has Tom been a little bit more aggressive lately? What's grinding his gears?
No. Have you been, and is something grinding your gears, though?
Last week, something was grinding my gears. We got screwed over by the Brock and Salk show.
Oh, that's right.
Badly. So, yeah, that was grinding my gears last week.
Hey, where's your thing?
What thing?
It's right there.
The fidget.
It's right there.
Okay.
Yeah. So that was last week, but I'm fine right now. We had great weather over the weekend, went out on the boat.
Took the schooner out?
Yeah, for a few minutes on Saturday, and then yesterday I spent 90 minutes fixing it.
Do some aggressive tacking?
Aggressive tacking?
Yeah. For a few minutes.
90 minutes.
Oh, I thought you said you took it out for a few minutes.
Oh, I took it out. Yeah, it was pretty cold out there on Saturday. It was really windy. Yeah, pretty cold. But hopefully the good weather's here to stay.
Why is Tom so negative, even dragging Seinfeld through the mud when given the chance?
I'm just giving you my opinion. I thought that last episode sucked.
That was fact.
Yeah, whatever. Do you think that this, meaning gambling, will affect fantasy sports?
No. Although, I tell you what, DraftKings has already announced that they're in.
Yeah, why wouldn't they?
They're going to set up a platform. Those guys will set up platforms for it. But no, look, that's the thing. Fantasy sports is gambling.
It doesn't change what you would do with fantasy sports.
No, not at all. And it won't be about that. I don't believe it'll have an impact at all. I don't think people are doing fantasy football strictly for the gambling.
No, it's a community, man. These guys get together. They love to have the conversation. I mean, sure, you love to win.
Yeah, there's team building and things like that.
You follow the games. Yeah, I mean, you like putting together the roster. That's not going
to
impact
the draft. I've got friends that take it to they go to Vegas all together and they
do
their draft and they make a weekend of it. I mean, it's just a big deal.
Won't change.
Yeah.
I think, like we talked about earlier, the only thing that it will affect is the illegal bookmaking that you've been doing, that you're used to doing.
Yeah.
Right. And not that that'll totally go away, but.
No, as Joe made the point that it won't. For some guys, it simply won't. And then, like I told you guys, depending on how many fees and things like that on it, that'll impact what kind of a line you can get. And look, if you still got a bookie out there, it'll give you 7 points on the Seahawks game when the official line for the sports book betting is 5. What are you going to do?
Graz, somebody here is talking about your convincing yourself you're addicted to something here. They said that principle is called neuroplasticity. I just wrote a paper on it for my doctoral program. Graz is ahead of his time.
Wow.
Yeah, you're creating new neural pathways in your brain is what it has to do with.
I thought I was just faking myself out.
It is, essentially.
Well, it's worked for, knock on wood, 11 years.
It's worked for some of the grades.
Haven't had a cigarette since the day I threw the pack out.
How many games over 500 do the Mariners need to be to survive the Cano injury? Well, I mean, I don't know, it depends, has to do with the other.
It depends on what you got. I mean, like we said, 16 of the next 20 games are at home, all of them against teams with losing records.
Yeah, we thought this was supposed to be a big month. So far, it's just been kind of okay.
Right. Well, they've been playing 500 for a while. I mean, they got to win. Look, of those 20 games, they got to win 12. That's 600 ball.
And they've got the teams in front of them that they should be able to accomplish that.
Even without Cano.
Mm-hmm. Anything else?
Let's see. I will. No, I'm not going to read that one. This person texted that in like 50 times.
Which one? Master of their domain?
Go ahead. Then go ahead.
They said, I will celebrate the Seinfeld anniversary by being the master of my own domain.
King of the castle.
That's right.
Lord of the manor.
I'm out. That's great.
What would you rather see? Seven-inning games is for Bob. Seven-inning games or the shift outlawed?
The shift.
You like the shift?
No, I don't love it, but I don't think it should be made illegal. It's you figure out a way. That's the chess move, right? Everybody made a move. Now you counter it. Figure out how to hit the other way, for the love of God.
That question should really be for me, because I like seven-inning games. So what would I choose? I'd choose to outlaw the shift.
Yeah, the stubbornness of some hitters to sit there and try to pound the ball through the shift makes me nuts.
Me too.
You see them taking outside pitches and rolling over on them, trying to pull them.
I could just
go with the pit. And I know it's easier said than done. I'm talking to major leaguers here, of course. But,
like Joey Gallo.
That's who it was. I saw a diagram the other day.
Infield and outfield, yes. All on one side.
It looked like everybody was to the right-hand side of second
base. Yeah, they had the only people that weren't out there were the pitcher and catcher on that side of the field.
Did he still hit into the shift?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Seager does it all the time.
I think, in fairness, it's the new players that are coming up now, the guys who are in the minors now, who are dealing with the shift as they're growing into baseball, because the shift is still fairly new. You're going to see the approach that you're talking about coming up from guys in the future.
Going with the pitch?
Yeah, a lot more so than you have in the past.
Yeah,
guys who aren't already trained.
I get that it's much easier said than done. I acknowledge that. But you see so many guys trying to pull the pitch that's on the outside of the plate. I'm thinking, what are you doing?
Well, they're probably being pitched inside most of the time, too, right?
That's part of it, for sure.
It's part of it, but it happens so often. You see a ball on the outside of the plate, and they're trying to yank it, and they hit right into the shift.
Yep.
Okay. Anything else? Somebody said Deadpool 2 or Avengers this week. I'd go Deadpool 2. I'm not big on the traditional superhero movies, I guess.
I saw part of the Deadpool, the first one. That was pretty funny.
That was great.
Had some laughs.
That was a great movie, I thought.
Well, that's another one. You always talk about Airplane just being like joke after joke after joke.
An all-out quest for humor.
Yeah, Deadpool's not the same types of jokes, but it's the same philosophy. Every line's supposed to be funny.
I thought it was really good.
Yeah.
All right, there you go. Coming up, what's the most important thing to remember about Chuck Knox, who passed away? We're going to talk to one of his former players. Paul Moyer will join us next with Bob Gros and Tom.